You're listening to Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Dan Wanshura. This summer on IPR, you're hearing studio sessions with musicians who are performing in Northern Michigan. Today on the show, the Crane Wives. When the Crane Wives formed 8 years ago, the band featured a pretty straightforward acoustic indie folk sound and performed in and around the Grand Rapids area. Much has changed since 2010, though. The four-piece band has evolved to a more upbeat electric sound and has gained a national following through touring and success in several music competitions. Here performing in IPR's Studio A, the Crane Wives.
Thank you.
That was the Crane Wives performing their song Daydreamer. And the band is made up of Kate Pillsbury, Emily Petersmark, Ben Zito, and Dan Rickabus. And they join me now in studio. Guys, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
Mm-hmm. Your band has evolved quite a bit as of late. You kind of have this more built-up electric sound. It's a little bit more upbeat. What made you attracted to going all electrical when you started out more of an acoustic band?
This is Kate speaking. We used to be a five-piece band, and back then it was the acoustic guitars and the banjo, the bass and the drums. And at about 3 years in, our banjo player left the band, and we kind of started exploring the electrical genre. You know, I think doing something for many years at a time, you start to try to stray from it a little bit, just to keep yourself entertained. And I think, you know, we go out there traveling around the country, and it's fun to entertain other people, but ultimately we're doing this for ourselves. We love playing music together. And with these guys on drums and bass, it's impossible not to rock a little bit, because they're super groovy and innovative with the parts that they write. So I think Emily and I just chose to follow that path and find our rock roots.
Yeah, this is Emily. I think that the banjo was very much a color instrument when we had it in the band. And when it was gone, there was a lot of space for us to like play with and fill. And that was really exciting. So a big part of that was introducing, you know, electric guitar where Kate and I could trade off lead. It kind of forced us to get better at our craft.
Kate and Emily, I want to talk to you about a couple of songs in particular. We heard Daydreamer already, but songs like Volta, Daydreamer, they're very raw and more self-reflective. I'm wondering, was it hard for you guys to get that authentic on a songwriting level and then share that with the world? Is that pretty vulnerable for you?
Yeah, I think it's really cathartic, honestly. I feel like Daydreamer and Volta are both of Kate and mine's, like, they're our greatest neuroses, just all packed into two songs. And we've tried to be more open to sharing that with people, because we know that we're not alone in feeling, a little damaged or a little broken. And I think that's what creates like a real genuine connection, is when you are able to be honest. Honestly, I don't think like it's a, why do we hide our neuroses anyway? So many people struggle. So it's just become such a major part of our lives, dealing with it and kind of learning how to cope. And so it leaked into the songwriting.
Yeah. So
I did want to elaborate on something else that you hit upon in regards to the songwriting process evolving. I think because we've been doing this for so long, there was a stretch of time there where it got a little confusing for me personally to write freely and openly, simply because I knew, you know, I wanted to write a song that I liked, but also a song that the band members would like, but also songs that our fans would connect with. And those are all great reasons not to write a song. It like gets you way too far in your own head and your own self-criticism. So it's been a process of unlearning those thoughts and getting back to just being a girl in a room with a guitar.
Ben, you and I were talking, and you mentioned something about becoming full-time with the Crane Wives.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you guys with that decision?
So it would have been January of 15 or so. We all decided to really just hit it. We worked up two albums of material and went into the studio and recorded them at the same time. And we just have been touring pretty nonstop ever since. It makes for a lot of interesting choices. You have to make business decisions before fun decisions necessarily, just because we got rent to pay, bills.
Give me an example of what that might look like.
If maybe you want to play a festival that doesn't pay very well, and instead you got to take a private gig, like a wedding or something. Not that weddings aren't fun, but it does less for our presence in the music scene, you know. So you got to start making decisions, and you're not really afforded a day off ever. Weekends are all spoken for, that kind of thing. But lately we decided that it doesn't really give us much time to work on new music either. So we're going to try to take a step back from touring so much and start working on a new album actually pretty soon here.
Tell me about the new album you're going to be working on while you maybe take a step back from touring for a little bit.
Everybody's looking at me, so. This is Dan. So looking at the trajectory of a band like you've been talking about, we were acoustic at the beginning. Then we kind of went into this big blossoming phase where there was a lot on Coyote Stories and Fox Lore, which are our third and fourth records, that we weren't actually doing live. There's a lot of extra stuff. I played some glockenspiel on one. Ben played a couple notes on The Roads. Like, it was very much about creating a very expansive album experience. And then since then, we've been performing so much as just an electric four-piece. So for me, I've been so excited to capture something that showcases the new live sound and really captures the energy of the performance. And there might be some special things happening on the album that a listener might not get at a live show, but the main purpose is just to really showcase what the four of us can do when we're together in a room with our instruments.
Kate Pillsbury, Emily Petersmark, Ben Zito, and Dan Rickabus are the Crane Wives. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having us here.
You guys are going to take us out with one more song. It's called Volta. And Emily, you wrote this one. Tell us a little bit about it.
Oh my, I wrote this song at the beginning of what I feel like was a new chapter. I struggle with depression and anxiety. It's a really big issue in my life. And the word volta is an Italian word that means the turn. And it's often used in sonnets to denote a change in perspective. And it's used in music when things have multiple endings. And I really loved that. So I wrote this song as kind of like a reminder to myself that it's important to put in the work. You have to want to get better and you have to want to take care of yourself. You can't just expect things to just pan out eventually. So a lot of this year was spent, you know, putting in the work, and that's, you know, counseling or medicine or, you know, exercising more, feeding myself better, that sort of thing. I think it's really important that we do what we have to make sure we're connecting with the world.
This is the Crane Wives performing the song Volta.
Got bombs that are falling on my mind. Getting used to the noise and light, and light, and light. Find a new dream. God, I never want to shut my eyes. Cause I'm tired of passing like a ghost through my life.
You can hear the Crane Wives perform tonight in Bel Air. They're also going to be in Lake Ann on July 27th, Traverse City on July 28th, and in Glen Arbor on July 29th. Look for a link to their complete schedule at our website, interlockinpublicradio.org. Thanks to Brock Mormon, who engineered this session. I'm Dan Wanchura, and this is Interlockin Public Radio.